the future of DACA is still up in the air. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program is back in court in Texas with a familiar name presiding, U.S. District Judge Andrew Hanen. He ruled against keeping DACA in a previous case. Since DACA began 11 years ago, it has granted hundreds of thousands of people who came to the U.S. as children without full legal status the chance to work and be protected from deportation. Todd Schulte is president of Forward.us, a bipartisan organization lobbying for immigration reform. He joins us now to go over the latest. Todd, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Todd, why is DACA back in a Texas court today? What is being litigated now?
Well, first and foremost, it shouldn't be. I think, you know, this is a program that's incredibly popular. Now, it's back in court today because a number of states, led by Texas, are suing, claiming that DACA is illegal. Now, this is a program that's been a huge success for over a decade, and we strongly disagree that this entire case is in front of the courts.
Wasn't this litigated before? Didn't the Supreme Court rule on DACA?
So it's confusing. So under the Trump administration, President Trump attempted to end DACA. The Supreme Court ultimately ruled that the manner in which he tried to end the program was illegal. So they ruled that the way he tried to end it was unlawful, and so it went back into place. But they didn't rule on the underlying legality of the program. And so what's happening now is the court case is over whether the program is itself legal or illegal.
Got it.
And as we look to what's going to happen today, I think we're really concerned about an initial ruling from this judge.
Yeah. And that really is of concern because the last time this judge ruled on DACA, it was not favorable. So tell me, Todd, what's at stake here? And what could this mean for those living on this deferred action status? Might they lose it?
So DACA has been an amazing success. The average DACA recipient came to this country at the age of 6, and they've been here for 24 years. It's helped nearly a million people be able to work and live legally in this country. And Judge Hanen has said previously he thinks the program is illegal. If that goes away, that is just going to be devastating to the tune of 1,000 people each and every day, Monday through Friday, for 2 years, if the program is ended fully, would lose the ability to work and the ability to be free from the fear of deportation. That's not going to happen anytime soon. I want to be clear about that. But the consequences of ending DACA would be absolutely devastating for so many people.
And what is the argument that DACA is illegal?
Well, I think it's a bad argument. I want to be clear. But the argument is that somehow this is something that's not within the purview of the administration. That's absolutely a false argument. And presidents of both parties, going back to Eisenhower, have used this authority to grant, a temporary ability for people to have a work permit and temporary protections from deportation. I really can't stress enough how much we want DACA recipients to continue to renew and, you know, really how much like Congress has to act, whether this ends up at the Supreme Court next year or the year after. Ultimately, we should be very clear-eyed. The chances in the courts are not great. Mm. We need a pathway to citizenship, and we need an immigration system that upholds the best of what America aspires to be.
Todd Schulte is president of Forward.us, a bipartisan organization lobbying for immigration reform. Todd, thank you.
Thank you.
And we turn now to clinical psychologist Norma Ramirez, who's launching her own practice serving the Latino community in Las Vegas, Nevada. She is a DACA recipient, and when DACA was threatened by the Trump administration, she was one of the plaintiffs who sued the administration all the way to the Supreme Court, and they won. Welcome, Norma.
Hi, Deepa. Thank you for having me.
So, Norma, when we last talked, we were walking around Pasadena. You were a PhD candidate pursuing a doctorate in clinical psychology because you firmly believed your community, the Latino community, needed more access to mental health counselors from their own community. And you've achieved that now. Yet it seems we're back looking at your very immigration status being on shaky ground again. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I think that the best way that I can articulate it is that I have one foot on the spectrum of being extremely grateful, full of awe at the fact that I can be where I'm at. And then this other foot in this very vulnerable place where still so much of my life is in the hands of others.
Can you tell us how it was that you came to the U.S., Norma?
Yeah, so I came to the U.S. when I was 5 years old from Mexico. You know, I crossed the border, no visa, settled in Las Vegas. And then I was in Pasadena for graduate school, and I have returned end of 2022, last year, I came back to Las Vegas.
And you were able as a child to grow up, and it was only at a certain point that you realized that your lack of an immigration status was going to affect your future. Is that correct?
Yes. This realization came when I was in high school, you know, when you're told to start thinking about college, to apply for financial aid, to get a driver's license. At that point,
you couldn't do any of those things.
Right. And so that's when I started to realize, you know, how that would be impacting me.
What's one thing you hope people understand about your situation? Say they're just hearing about DACA in the news, but have never met anyone personally impacted. What do you want people to better understand?
Well, I think first is that they probably have met someone who is impacted. We just, you know, we're not going to be telling everyone about it. In my particular case, it's out there, so people know. But for the most of us, we don't share that we have DACA status because of the fear of how other people will react, you know, if people know about our lack of status or liminal status. And I think we make better decisions when we come from a place of care and love and not fear. There's a lot of rhetoric about people stealing jobs or people being different. And for the most part, I think those are bigger lies than truths, and that we actually have a whole lot more in common than we have been led to believe. And if there's even an opportunity to connect with someone on figuring out what those similarities are, and that actually we can have really cool and wonderful experiences with each other, that would help us.
Let me just ask you, how do you feel today hearing the news that DACA is back in court being litigated, and it might not turn out well for those on DACA, even through whatever appeals might happen?
It's painful. It's despairing. You know, for myself as a licensed clinical psychologist, I have a lot of skills to cope for myself personally. And still, this is the thing that I can face a lot of things, but this is the thing that will absolutely completely affect me. And
it's unfair. Debilitate you, maybe.
Yeah, debilitating.
You know, I want to ask you how you hold on to hope through all of this, to keep doing the work you're doing and now setting up a practice to really provide mental health services for your own community.
Yeah. Part of it comes from my faith in God. And also, I think you can hear it in my narrative of how I talk about people. I have had a lot of support from a lot of different people that would probably be unexpected. And so I carry that with me. And I have no idea, you know, to open what I'm calling a private practice to serve primarily, you know, my community, which typically doesn't have the resources to afford therapy and the kind of services that I would offer. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical. I know that. And at the same time, I have to go for it. I have to figure it out. And so I'm thinking of what can I do how can I move in ways that we are typically not encouraged to move to make this happen? And, you know, it's not easy, it's hard, but I believe in the impossible.
That's a great note to leave it on. Norma Ramirez, DACA recipient, believing in the impossible from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.